Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Stacey Bellward, the host of the Connected Families Podcast. Welcome to our community. We are people committed to pursuing God's grace and truth for ourselves and then daily working to pass that grace and truth on to our children. I'm so glad that you're here today. Well, our content team did it again. They put out a new free resource for you to use with your kids during this Easter season. We call it the Resurrection Sunday Rock Hunt. I love that. But don't dismiss this if you have older teens or tweens. Today, I invited Katie Wetzel, certified Connected Families parent coach, onto the show, and we are going to share ideas about how to talk to our kids at all ages about Easter, including introducing the free resource for small kids and for bigger kids. So Katie's been on the show lots of times before, including just recently with episode 165, Calming Strategies for Parents, episode 99, which was How Can I Identify Anxiety in My Child? And episode 124, Empowering Your Differently Wired Child. Those are just a couple of the episodes. There's been others that I just thought I would mention today that Katie and I were on. So Katie, welcome to the show again.
Yeah, so glad to be back.
So glad you're here. Tell us again how many kids you have and their ages.
Yeah, I have 4 kids. We're coming up on birthday season soon, but for now we are 8, 12, 14, and 17.
So that's why we invited you on, because you've had chances to talk to the kids at all the different ages around Easter, because the struggle can be real, right? Christmas and Easter, these two holidays have become so commercialized, and it takes a lot for us as parents to be really intentional to keep the focus, right? What happened on these days? And as Christians, what do we believe about them? It's not just about presents and candy. So you have lots of ideas that you're going to bring today. And we have a great free resource that anyone can tap through the show notes right now, even get it. We'll talk about it later in the show. And also, by the way, everybody, you're not going to have to be heading on off to Hobby Lobby to get lots of craft supplies. So it's going to be an easy one to pull together. Okay, Katie, let me start off with a question. As Christian parents, what is the goal here? Like, what are we going after when we invite our kids to do activities or have conversations around the resurrection?
I feel like holiday traditions, we can either like just have fun, right? Mm-hmm. Or people who might be a little more serious like me, we're like, well, what is the truth? You know, and we might like, do we even need to do something special? Because the truth is the truth every day, you know? And so finding that place in the middle of, hey, we can have fun with our family and also in ways that are really meaningful about deep truths that we want our children to understand. And so with Easter, it's an opportunity to really bring more attention and dig a little deeper into the cross of Jesus and his resurrection. And play makes that, number one, more meaningful for kids. They are going to pay attention and be more motivated and have more dopamine and all kinds of there's all kinds of studies around playing kids. So that play is going to help it be more meaningful for the kids and help them pay more attention. And it actually reinforces the joy of connection that Jesus redeemed for us through the cross. And so joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit also. So we can have fun as we dig into these deep truths. Traditions are just a sweet way to build those memories, to grow in our understanding year after year as we come back and dig deep into these themes together.
So you're going to share a few of the things that have become traditions in your home and the free resource, the PDF activity that anyone can tap through the show notes and grab. That was from a mom in our community who had come up with it, and she did it every year with her kids too. And that's why we talk about traditions. They're just, so you don't have to do it every year, but hey, maybe you want to. Yeah,
it kind of reduces the decision fatigue, right? I mean, definitely had years where we didn't do the traditional things and years where we did it all out and years where we kind of halfway did it. But if I have space and capacity to do something, a tradition is like, I don't have to come up with something new every year. I have this tradition, and if we are able, we will.
Yeah, I like that. You know, another reason that I think, you know, we're doing this, right, is because we take the role of discipling our kids as something that's really important. And this is an important time in our calendar year when we celebrate a key part of our faith. And so it's a time for us, even as parents, to really think, like, what do I believe about Easter? Like, how do I understand it? Can I explain it to my children? What did resurrection, how did that impact the gospel and our faith? And I would also say, like, as parents, we shouldn't assume our kids know that they know what we believe. You know, we go to Easter Sunday, you know, church, and there's some words there, but it is our responsibility as parents to make sure that we're passing on our faith to our kids.
Yeah, that it's a chance for us to learn and grow as we consider what we believe and then how to explain that to someone else.
Yeah.
That accountability to teach really helps you put things into words and consider how that fits. It's a really great test of where you're at and what you believe and what you want to learn more about. And it's a chance to praise God, right? It's a chance to show them that this truth has brought me life and I want to bring God glory because of what he's done. And so worshiping in church together, your kids hearing your thanksgiving to God as you're talking about these truths, as you're sharing stories about how you came to know them and believe them. It's a chance for them to connect with you and your faith and in real life ways. Like, here's what the Bible says, and here is how God taught me. And then they can see your joy and see your life and see your hope, all those good promises lived out in your life, not because you were perfect, but because you trusted God.
So we're modeling our faith out loud to our kids and inviting them in to the joy of my relationship with Jesus. And that's made possible because of the resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that feeds right into kind of the second thing I think about in these traditions is our connection with each other. Yeah. Because of this amazing love that I've received from Jesus, I have this amazing love to share with you. And having these traditions and connecting as we're teaching and as we're doing and as we are experiencing our own sin or helping them understand their own, we are not only telling them about the love of Jesus, we are sharing with them the love of Jesus in these connections as we go along and as they are connecting with us and each other. And that's what we were saved from, a disconnection with God, to have Jesus redeemed our connection with God.
Yeah.
And so we can enjoy connection with each other.
Yeah. So much goodness in
I get excited traditions. Just talking about it.
I know. I remember even as a kid, traditions that were just so important to me. And you're right. They just bring so much connection, so much chance for conversation, so much belonging. For those of us that have adoptive families, even, we talk a lot about belonging, right? Like, this is what we do in our house. So much goodness there. Let's move to the question. Like, let's get really basic, okay, Katie, and answer for ourselves. What do we believe? Why is the fact that Christ rose from the dead absolutely essential to our Christian faith? And how would we explain that to our kids, maybe when they're little, they're toddlers or 7, 8 years old? And then what about tweens and teens? And I'd love us to just take a couple of minutes. And even I know we wrote a script that we're going to just read for families, and we'll have available, if you tap to the show notes, you can get them. But let's start there. Why is the fact that Christ rose from the dead absolutely essential to our Christian faith?
I was thinking even about my own kids is, you know, Christ died for my sins. Christ died for my sins. We hear that. They hear that a lot. And we hear that repeated back to us a lot. But there's more to the story, right? Like, that's an important part of what he did, for sure. And, you know, when we celebrate Lent, we put a lot of attention on that. And Good Friday is about that. But Easter is really important, too. And to remember the life we have because of his resurrection, to see the glory of that he wasn't just a man who did this for us, but he was God who did this for us, because only God could conquer death.
So, that's right.
Yeah. And as you look at the life of Jesus and even the whole Bible, there is a theme of not just punishment for sin, but there's life on the other side of it. So I think you're exactly right. Easter is a great opportunity for us to highlight the good news of not only did Christ die for us, but he rose for us too. Yes.
And if he didn't rise from the dead, there wouldn't be a story. It wouldn't have been completed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I think definitely taking your kids through those passages. And when you said that, I thought about in the Gospels, how despondent and discouraged and worried the disciples were when those 3 days Jesus was in the tomb. And so I think even revisiting the story and seeing what if that was it, you know, what could have happened next? But then Jesus rose again, and he didn't just rise. He like came and showed everybody so that they would believe and that they would understand what's next, what hope they have. And then they go out and they send that hope out to the rest of the world. And that's including us, right? Like that spread came to our family many, many years later. So exciting to look at that.
It is. It's so beautiful. It's the core of our faith. And but we know, right, that as parents, we take the long range view of how we explain these things to our kids, because you need to talk to a 7-year-old or 3-year-old or 8-year-old, you know, very different than an 11 or a 12 or than a 15 and 16-year-old. And so that's why we wanted to kind of write two scripts. So I'm going to kind of read through the one for the littles, and then you're going to talk more about the teenage brain and how we can talk to the teenagers. But how does this sound to you, everybody, for talking to a little kid? So, Katie, you're not the little kid, but but here we go. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We know that. But if Jesus did not rise again, he would just be dead. And we probably wouldn't even remember him. There would be no Christians. There would be no church, no Bible. Only Jesus could make himself come alive again because he's God. And he did that for us. Jesus came alive so that when we ask him, he will forgive our sins. And the Bible even says that God does not remember those sins even after that, which means that we are so clean. We become new, maybe just like when we get out of the bathtub. That's it, you guys. That's how we could talk to little kids. But now when we're talking to tweens or teens, Katie, you've done a lot of study on just the developmental process and what goes on in tweens' brains. So can you share a little bit about that?
You know, one of the exciting things as far as them growing in their understanding of sin and what we believe about Jesus and the hope we have and life that is eternal and spiritual, all those things, around the age of 12, they develop capacity for abstract thought. Now, it's the average age, but that's good news, right? We can go deeper into these concepts. I share often about my own story when I was about 10 reading Romans and just reading over and over because I knew there was more there that my brain could just not capture. Like I just remember and asking someone questions and just feeling that roadblock. But around 12, that ability for abstract thought, which is what I was missing, developed. And so it's really important that we don't neglect our older kids and the opportunities to revisit these things we've been talking to them about and to help them go deeper as their brains are growing and able to think in new ways and expand. The other thing that's happening, tweens and teens, their social brain is strongly developing. So they have a stronger concern about belonging, about where they fit, and particularly outside the family too, in a much stronger way than they had before. And so tweens and teens are trying to sort out their identity, what defines them, who they are, but also where they belong. And so this good news of the cross it answers the developmental and just fundamental human questions at any age. But particularly, you know, with tweens, we have this opportunity to really help them go deeper with their capacity for abstract thought and help answer the central questions they're facing right now with the cross and the resurrection.
I think you just blew a few people's minds with that. That just is like really powerful to think about how we disciple our tweens and teens based on their development. So Katie, what is the script? How would you talk to a tween and explain the importance of the resurrection?
The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope that who we are does not have to be defined by our mistakes, our sin. Jesus's blood paid the price instead of our sin being counted against us. But if Jesus had not also risen from the dead, he would just be dead. And what hope would we have then? But Jesus rose again. He became alive on the third day, and only God can do that. The Bible says that Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection is a symbol of our own salvation. Our sin brings death to ourselves and the whole world. But when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins, then like Jesus's resurrection, we come alive too. We are not defined by our sin. We are defined by Jesus's perfect life because of his love for us. Only Jesus could rise from the dead, and only Jesus can give you life. I would say to my tween, to move into that belonging language, tell them that the resurrection graciously gives us a promise of life connected to an everlasting family. It's beyond our natural family. Easter is an opportunity to lean into these truths for the freedom we have from our shame and to receive the abundant life and the secure belonging with God's family. Jesus overcame death with a new and glorious life that we might share in this if we trust his word. John 14:1-3 tells us, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." That's Jesus talking. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." I'm about to cry. It's such good news, Stacy, for me and for my kids.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful for us at any age, but, you know, thinking about heaven, but as a tween teen, thinking about that belonging and where do I belong? Jesus says, "I have a room in my house for you." We know he's talking about heaven there. He's also asking them, right? "Will you make room in your heart for me?" Woo, that would be a great little add-on then to the conversation with our kids. Well, Katie, this has been really fun. We're going to dive into the ideas that you've walked through with your kids to talk about the resurrection. And then also we're going to briefly talk about the PDF, the free resource, the activity that parents can do. But we're going to go to a break right now and we'll come back in just a second. Has Connected Families been a lifeline for your parenting journey? Well, as we near our fiscal year end, which is March 31st, 2024, we are making progress to close a $200,000 funding gap. Most Connected Families donors are parents, just like you, who have benefited from the content. Would you consider a donation before March 31st? Your generosity will meet parents exactly where they are. Your gift will support them in the challenges and the complexities of parenting. Your gift will bring them joy as they learn new ways to parent with grace instead of shame, fear, and confusion. You know, every dollar counts. Will you prayerfully consider a gift today? Your gift by March 31st makes a meaningful impact. Thank you for your help to close the gap and end our fiscal year strong. Well, Katie, we're back. We're talking about the Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter here. And so I just want to dive into the ideas. How can we include our tweens and our teens into the conversation or have an activity for them? I know you've got great ideas.
So yeah, you can totally use the scripts and the sit down conversation. But even tweens and teens like to have fun. They still like to play too. And so I think it's really important that we bring them along and that we keep doing these things also in a context of a family activity. And so I have found my teens, they like being included. They still like being invited. And now I know there's certain ages where they don't seem to want to do anything, but deep down, they like to know that they're wanted, that they are a part. And so sometimes, though, if they are struggling with motivation, bringing a friend along has helped them be more engaged. And it's also allowed us the chance to bless more kids by including their friends. And so that's another idea I would throw in there with this age that might help if you have a tween or teen that doesn't seem as motivated to participate. Is there a way you can bring friends along? And that will help them. And then again, more blessings, more people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I've noticed with my older kids is they like having an active role where they feel competent, like they have something to give, because part of their identity is understanding their role and a sense of purpose. And so either having them lead or having them bring ideas has been a way to get them engaged and use their gifts to bless younger siblings. Or again, if you don't have younger siblings, you know, being a part of a community where there's younger kids for them to bless others, which goes into connected families. I hear all the time, our gifts are to bless, not impress. We can help them form that part of their identity around their gifts as something that is called to honor God and bless others. And they enjoy that too. Definitely, there's a lot of research around the benefits of serving others. And so It's a benefit to them as well. And then, like we talked about these scripts, it's a chance for them to find language around these concepts and further grow their understanding by being involved and having an active role. Opens up more conversations. So I found it really sweet to not be like, okay, they're big now, so we're not going to do these fun things, but to keep the fun things going.
Yeah.
Has created some really great opportunities for learning and connecting. And even my oldest one says he really likes being more involved to bless his younger siblings. It makes him feel better about the years where he maybe didn't bless them as much. So it was really sweet for him to see the opportunity to further reconcile and grow in loving his siblings by being a part of these activities.
I love that. I like it. Okay, well, let's just bullet point a couple of the things that you've done. Could you tell us about the New Life Hunt?
So Easter egg hunts are a common theme. I'm probably err on the more serious side of the spectrum I talked about before. We can still have fun with meaning. And so I have a garden that always brings me such reminders of God and his creation and the new life that's there. And so little treats that are wrapped up to look like vegetables or, you know, butterflies or ladybugs. And so all this new life we see come forth in the spring to recognize God and his ability to bring life. And so we celebrate wherever we see that happening. And so my older kids will now hide the treats and pack the containers then the younger ones go out and look for it. And it's really fun.
And another thing that you listed is just church. So say a bit about that.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for the community we have in our local church. So it's an opportunity to go and be blessed, which we know as a mom, sometimes we feel so poured out. And so church is such a great place to be poured into. And so we have great teaching that helps us hear for ourselves and for our kids these truths and hope, and teachers that invest in our kids to meet them developmentally where they are too and reinforce that connection and that shared hope. And then just worship, man, getting to rejoice together.
Mm-hmm.
The way that connects us to God and to each other, I feel like brings us a little bit closer to honoring God. He's worth so much more honor than I feel like we could do in our human bodies on this side of heaven. But it's so sweet to partake in a little bit of that glory and thanksgiving together.
That's good.
Reinforcing the belonging, right? There's that belonging theme again. Going to church is a way to experience and to celebrate the belonging we have in that big home that Jesus has secured for us.
Yes. And another way to grow belonging, tradition is eating together and celebrating Resurrection Sunday. So feasting is so important on that day in our culture. And I love what you shared ahead of time is that everyone's involved.
Yeah.
You even shared a picture of the Easter cake that somebody in your family decorated. It's so cute. I'll try to get that into, I don't think I get it in the show notes, but maybe in the blog post you can tap through.
Yeah, I mean, we see feasting not just in our culture, but pretty much every culture celebrates with a feast, right? And definitely in the Old Testament, we see feasts. I mean, New Testament, there's feasts all over the place. Yeah, in a way, connecting that with like, God has given us life so abundantly, and we're going to make a big table and eat together to celebrate the life we have right now and point to our hope in the life we have in the future and just notice how much God has given us. And so, yeah, keeping my kids involved has been really fun. Again, as a mom, sometimes I feel like it's all on me and I have to do all the things and I have to make all the things. And that would lead me to a lot of resentment. And so when I stopped and caught that resentment and thought like, what is the grace and truth that we, again, we talk about here. It's like, I don't have to do it all alone. And my kids are capable. But there was a while we would go to a friend's house for Easter. And so we, whatever we brought, the kids would help with. And so that a cake was a fun way for my kids to be involved with me and my creative type to have a creative outlet. And then now when we do feast, my kids are getting a little bit older. And so each of them has a certain dish that they make and they contribute to the feast. And so, they, you know, the younger they are, the simpler the recipe.
Yeah.
I mean, my youngest made like fruit salad. And so it was real simple.
Oh,
but
that's great.
It's been really sweet to show them that they are called and capable and to give them those opportunities to celebrate with us all the way through.
Because Resurrection Sunday is something to be celebrated. So I remember asking my kids, why are we celebrating today? We're here now at the table. We've gone to church. We've celebrated with our church family. So let's talk about this. You know, why? Why do we have grandma and grandpa over and aunts and uncles? And
those are why questions that are safe, right?
That's right. Yeah. Like, let's talk about why and what we believe. And this is why I love this activity that we put together that anybody listening can get a copy of. It's the Resurrection Sunday Rock Hunt, and it's got a little supply list. You guys, there's only three things on it. And one of them is just rocks, which, you know, you can probably go outside and find. But there's step-by-step directions. And what I love about it is that, you know, like number one is prepare for a heartfelt rock hunt. So you give your kids a basket, or maybe you even just pull out a Tupperware because you haven't gotten to the store yet for that. And you give them this container and you go outside and you look around for rocks and have a little joy with the one who's going to want to find the biggest rock, right, Katie? Like, we're going to make this fun and life-giving and have lots of joy, but it's a great opportunity to talk about, like, what do the rocks represent? They represent our sin. They represent that we have all sinned. We all have rocks in our life. And the thing I love about this activity is that there's scripture for every single step. And we even pulled all that scripture out and put it on an extra page so that it's just right there for you parents and available. Like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're teaching important truths about our faith. And it's the reason that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But then we go on to the next step on this activity, which is understanding sin together. And we go a little bit deeper because, you know, as parents, it's important for us to talk about sin, isn't it, Katie?
Yeah. And it's not as simple when we start talking about it. We realize like, well, then what is sin? How do I explain that? And I think I heard someone the other day said there's like 15 definitions in the Bible. So yeah. We need a lot of scripture. We need to point them to the Bible to understand what we're talking about, to understand what it is and what it isn't. And so that's something that, honestly, as an adult, and I've been a Christian for 30 years or more, I'm still coming to understand. And so I love that the understand together. I love how Connected Families does this in a lot of their materials. Mm-hmm. It's just appreciating that whatever we're teaching our kids, we are learning too. Yeah. That's like right. We have adult brains and we have more life experience. We have a lot to offer leading our kids, but we are being
but we're all growing.
Yeah, we're all growing.
Aren't we, Katie? We're growing in our understanding of what is resurrection and how does it impact our faith? Yeah. What is sin? You know, what is the gospel and how do I live that out each day? But there's scripture here.
I love
here.
This using scripture as we're mm-hmm. picking up the rocks and we're sharing what we've learned about our own sin and helping them reflect on their own. And just that parallel process is more honest and humble and
yes.
also makes a safe place to invite our kids into those hard discussions.
Because we're not doing it in the heat of the moment, are we? We're not talking about sin when we're experiencing the sin, right? We don't want to do it then. We want to do it outside of those times where we can explain our faith.
Yeah. And that safety and that safe brain state is when they're able to learn, right? It's when they're able to take in more information and reflect and understand and look ahead for what they're learning now means in the future. It's a beautiful time to have this discussion.
So we have the conversation. Third is cover our sins with sacrifice. And so that's just symbolically taking a red cloth and we cover it. And Jesus washes our sins away and they are gone and he doesn't remember them anymore. Scripture for that too. And then there's just a couple more steps, but it's the celebration and it's few maybe prizes that a parent has collected that we replace those stones with good things at the end. And so you can go through, there's about 8 steps here that we walk parents through in this resource. But I'm just excited. Hey, everybody, if you do it, take a few pictures and send them to us or post them on Instagram or Facebook and tag us. We would love to see how you've used this Resurrection Sunday rock hunt in your family. These things are fun, aren't they, Katie?
Are fun. And I love the connection to our emotional experience. I was looking through the other steps about, you know, tucking the basket away for those 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb and like waiting to see what's going to happen and connecting to how the disciples felt as they were waiting to see, you know, and I think it's just a great way for them to connect with these as not just stories, but as real, that what the disciples went through and what happened with Jesus was, we're helping make it real to them.
Well, Katie, thanks for being on today. I just appreciate you and all of your wisdom as you come and share with our community.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, I could talk about Jesus all day long.
I know it. I love it. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in today, friends. We are a listener-supported organization. Over 50,000 parents like you listen to this podcast every month. Individual donations make the work to equip and encourage families possible. For more information about Connected Families, follow us on Instagram or Facebook or go to connectedfamilies.org. I will see you next time.